Well, good morning, LifePoint. It's good to see you this morning. For those of you who don't know me, my name is Derek. I am a member here at LifePoint. I'm also the president of a global mission organization called Missions Door. We are in week two of a trilogy of weeks on the topic of forgiveness. And specifically, we're taking a deep dive on the parable of the unforgiving servant in Matthew chapter 18. So if you have your Bibles, I want to encourage you to turn to Matthew chapter 18. We're going to look at verses 21 to 35 again together. We're going to look at it again next week, okay? This is a deep dive. And as we're getting there, don't worry if you didn't bring your Bible, that's okay. We'll have the verses up on the screen here in just a second. As we're getting there, let me just set the deck a little bit. Let me set the table. On November the 5th, 2017, Devin Kelly shot and killed 26 people and he wounded 22 others at the First Baptist Church in Sutherland Springs, Texas. Some of you remember this news story. Kelly was subsequently shot and wounded, and then he killed himself. It was the deadliest mass shooting in Texas history, and it was the deadliest at an American place of worship. On that day, General Goldfein, Chief of Staff of the Air Force, and Dr. Heather Wilson, Secretary of the Air Force, learned that Devin, this person who committed this act, was a former airman. And that was a problem. Because 3 years earlier, the Defense Department Inspector General had done a review of whether the armed forces were appropriately notifying the FBI and putting people on the can't buy a weapon list, those who looked to be a danger to society, and he would have qualified for that, and they weren't. And in the previous three years, the Air Force never fixed it. Until one day it would be harvested and somebody else would be killed. In other words, revenge begat revenge. Resentment begat resentment. Unforgiveness begat unforgiveness. It was a part of the norm. Here's what I'm saying. The Hatfields and the McCoys are not the exception. They're the rule in society. You know, I know that. I know HOAs. Right? Hell hath no fury like a neighbor scorned. And I'm just saying there's a lot of unforgiveness that is out there. By the way, let's just acknowledge for a second that unforgiveness can seem fun. It really can. You know, there's a reason why Clint Eastwood's movie Unforgiven was so popular. There's a reason why we want John Hamm to go wick because they killed his dog. Like, go kill them all, John. It feels fun. There's an adrenaline rush that comes in unforgiveness that's related to revenge that feels like a form of justice. But it's fool's gold. It's fool's gold. Jesus is saying, listen, Peter, he's answering Peter, if you're gonna follow me, then you're no longer gonna live by the world's norm because they're all chasing things that aren't solving anything. It's just an endless pattern. We can all keep doing what they've been doing, or when I save you, I set you free, we can break that cycle. So forgive as you've been forgiven. Forgive 70 times seven, not just seven times. God wants to direct us to a treasure which never fades away. Here's the third and last thing that I want you to see. Unforgiveness fuels our hypocrisies. Unforgiveness fuels our hypocrisies. Now, earlier in the Sermon on the Mount, because we are in the book of Matthew, this is Matthew 18, earlier he preaches this massive sermon, Jesus talks about the log and the speck challenge. What's that? Well, he talks about one person having a giant piece of wood coming out their eye while trying to take out the speck of wood in someone else's eye. Jesus taught that in trying to point out things about other people, we rarely notice that we may have the bigger issue. And you can't miss that in this story, in this parable. The servant who's forgiven doesn't see that he had the bigger debt. Do you notice that? Like, I'm going to get your 200 denarii. And it's like, are you kidding? 10,000 over here and you're going after this? It's hypocrisy. So it warps, it skews your perspective. But when you know your debt, when you see yourself as you are, you know the power of forgiveness over you, and it gives you a reality check on perspective. maybe I've actually been forgiven far more than I'm willing to admit. The servant begged the master for that which he himself wasn't going to give. And he owed infinitely more. Unforgiveness warped his reality. It fueled his hypocrisy. Listen, with forgiveness, there's no such thing as do as I say, not as I do. You know why? Because forgiveness is actually in the doing. Forgiveness is in the doing. Unforgiveness has us in a place where we blame others for our dysfunctions. It's always somebody else's fault. And we never really own them. So we actually can't move forward in life because we're busy blaming somebody else. For example, this may just be me. I acknowledge that. I personally think that there should be a statute of limitations on blaming your parents for your life. That's what I think. Amen? There was an amen for that. And a woo. Okay, all right, I'll take that. Now, I don't know what year that should be. I don't. But for some, their unforgiveness of childhood memories, and let's be honest, some child memories are dark. They're really dark. But their unforgiveness of childhood memories is actually fueling their inability to live in a healthy way. Next week, we're going to talk more about the practicalities of that. Right? How do I forgive? What's that look like? There's a lot of great practical advice about that. But let me just close this morning by reiterating what Cale said last week. That in all of this, as we wrestle with our hearts and what have I been holding on to, there's some good news here. And that is, only God can forgive. God can do that which you can't do. So our response to unforgiveness is we take our unforgiveness to the cross. That's where we begin. And by doing so, effectively what we're saying is, Father, forgive me for the unforgiving spirit that is poisoning me. Right? We bring our clenched fist to the cross and we say, my whole body belongs to you, and I've got this fist right here. I'm trying to get my fist to, so I don't know where to go, but because I belong to you, I bring it to you. Could you just pry these fingers open and allow some forgiveness to flow? For those of you who are into animation, right, this is your big moment. Let it go. Right? Easier said than done. Easier said than done. But if we don't, we become hypocrites. We expect for ourselves what we're not willing to give others. We want grace from other people. Man, don't you understand I'm human? But we're not willing to extend that to the people around us. You know, in recent years, on television and on social media posts, there's been a trend of people screaming intolerantly and unkindly at other people for not being tolerant and kind. In the name of wanting more forgiveness and kindness, people behave and speak in unforgiving and unkind ways. Listen, it's not helping us. And just to be frank, your unforgiveness is not helping you. It's not helping you. We have to stop trying to address sin with more sin. Can I just say that again? We have to stop trying to address sin with more sin. Now again, forgiveness is necessary, but it's not easy. I recognize that. I told you this morning would be hard. Today is July the 19th. On July the 22nd, 2016, so just 3 days from now, 10 years ago, my father was hit and killed as he was out bicycling one morning. He was lit up like a Christmas tree. He was a slow bicyclist. He was a careful bicyclist. And a man driving a truck, doing well over the speed limit and high as a kite, hit him. And my dad flew 100 feet in the air, and he was internally decapitated. I had lost my mom 7 years prior to that. Literally, the anniversary of their deaths are 7 years and 7 days. So last Tuesday was mom's anniversary, this Tuesday is dad's. To say I was angry is an understatement. I felt robbed. Dad was young, and I thought, man, his grandchildren, great-grandchildren, what is going on here? And boy, did I wrestle. But here's the thing. I belong to Jesus. And so my sister and I, my sister's also a believer, independently of one another, we decided that we would forgive this man. And we wrote a letter that was read out loud in court saying, listen, we do think consequences are helpful, but we want you to know that we forgive you because Jesus forgave us, and we shared the gospel in that moment. The man who heard that broke down, and I'm told that it was a pretty ugly cry, snot and the rest of it, at the thought that anyone would forgive him for what he did. Now listen, that doesn't make forgiveness easy. Sometimes forgiveness comes in droplets. 10 years later, this is still the hardest week of my year. But I want you to know, experientially, me to you, it's worth it. It's worth it. Do you know why? Because in that moment where we decided to forgive and do so actively, we let go of any resentment or bitterness this man may have over our lives. And we simply said, Jesus first. Jesus, Lord, in all things, even the hard things. Listen, I haven't walked a mile in your shoes. You haven't walked a mile in mine. And I know that forgiveness is hard. I do. But listen to me. It's necessary if you're going to be more like Jesus. Let's pray. This is one of those messages in scripture passages, Father, that just makes us uncomfortable. Because we all have things in our past, in our hearts. We have relatives, we have friends, we have memories. And life is unjust. Life is broken. Life doesn't work the way we want it to work, and it doesn't always work in our favor. But Father God, if we keep doing what we've always been doing, nothing ever changes. And our only hope for transformation is you. That's it. When you are Lord, we change. And we are desperate for change. We want to step off the merry-go-round of resentment. And so, Father God, we pray that we hear the words, well done, good and faithful servant, not the words, you wicked servant. Because forgiveness came to us and we embraced it and the gospel moved through us to other people. Father, I know there are some in this room that have not made that decision yet. They've not given over control of their lives to you. And like many, they like being around you. They like reading your word. They may like singing songs. They like all the things attached to you. And they think that that's one thing and living their lives is another thing. But Father God, Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And in him, our lives truly are found. So my prayer is that they would give their lives to you today. For those of us who have, Father, forgive us. We're still in process. We're still working through this. Sometimes forgiveness does come in droplets. But Father God, forgive. We choose to forgive because you've forgiven us. It's in the name of your son, Jesus, that we pray. Amen.